So how did you come to Gloucester?
Well, it's a long story, really, but I think it was really due to the fact that I got fixed up with a parish. I think I originally had a grant from the Gloucester Diocese for my theological college, and it was largely due to the fact that my father in India had got to know. Incidentally, I wasn't. My father wasn't Church of England. He was what is called a Congregationalist in those days.
Oh, and the missionaries. Or
but he got to know the Bishop of Bombay out there. He later became an assistant bishop here in Gloucester. Oh. And I think it was through my father asking his advice and that sort of thing for me that I got a grant from Gloucester Diocese, and which committed me to coming here.
You played for Blackheath before you came here, didn't you?
Yes, I did, right. Yes. I can't remember quite why that was, but yes, I did. And of course, Eltham College is not far from Blackheath. And of course, Blackheath in those days was very much a first-class club.
The club?
Standard, yes.
As they like to call themselves.
Yes.
Do you remember one match you played for Blackheath? It was on Boxing Day, 1931, and you played against the German side, which was very unusual in those days. I wondered if you remembered that.
No, I don't really. I don't. What I do remember is that when I think it was on a tour to Germany. In the first Easter back at the university, there was Frankfurt. It was a flourishing club, but I don't remember this.
Apparently, I was reading a Times report. You did actually play against Hanover for Blackheath on Boxing Day, 1931.
I played?
Yes, for Blackheath against Hanover. I just wondered if you had any memories of it.
I haven't, I'm afraid.
Rugby was quite strong in Germany, wasn't it, in those early 30s?
Well, I suppose it must have been, really. The Frankfurt club was a palatial set-up, and the buildings were, it was like hotels, really. But they played all, it was a really... for all sports and athletics and so on. I'm absolutely mystified by this.
Well, I think it would be a miracle if you remembered every match that you'd played in. So you came to a living in Gloucester, did you?
No, I didn't. I was an assistant chaplain at Dean Clare School. Cheltenham.
Yeah.
But Maurice McCandless had also been at Teddy Hall, where I was, in the University of Edmund Hall, and he was on the staff at Cheltenham College, and he was already, of course, playing for Gloucester. Yeah. And it was through knowing him that I was, got my entry into Gloucester. And I wasn't very popular with the local press in Cheltenham. I think they published something about the reverend gentleman thought he was too good for Cheltenham or something.
So McCandless was your introduction to
the
club.
Yes, he was, yes.
And can you tell us about him as a player?
Well, not really. He was a very big man, much bigger than me, and he played in the center then, I think, but sometimes played pull back, and he was a very powerful. I think Bill knows much more about him than I do, and he had a very long kick, and he was a very powerful man.
Yeah. So, Bill, did you see Bill when he was playing?
Oh, yes. I think I played one game with him.
Right.
I was certainly around the club at that time when all three of them were there, the three vicars that we had in the club at that time.
Kit Tanner and Mervyn Hughes.
And Mervyn. Yeah. Of course, I played many, many, many games with Mervyn, because Mervyn stayed on. I don't know how many games, but many, many. Because Mervyn stayed on the committee because his church was in Gloucester, Huddlecote, and he ultimately, for many years, became president of the club, of course. But McCandless, I remember playing a lot. He played for England. He was an England centre and played with Don Burland. Burland and McCandless, they were both the county centres, and they were two big, very big men for centres. They talk about big men today. Well, these were his two big people. You're talking about 6 foot plus, both of them. I expect going 15 stones, both of them.
Yeah.
They were the county centres and the England centres for a period.
I think when you joined, Gloucester in 1935, didn't you, Bill?
It was 35 or 36, yes.
Yes.
I think the headmaster of Dinklers wouldn't let me off for the first term of 35, I think, Christmas 35. I think I'm right.
Yes, you appear on the honours board in the Lions Den for the 1935-6 season.
Do I?
Which I think means that you played 21 games that season, so you played quite a lot. Yeah. I see that captain that season was J.C. Brooks.
Yes.
Can you tell us about him? We don't know very much about him.
Well, I don't really. I mean, particularly when I was... all the time I played for Gloucester, it was a case of having to, you know, turn up in time to change and play, and then I had to get back almost at once, even not stop even for tea and that sort of thing, because I was on duty at school. And so I didn't get to know the other chaps very well, but I would like to say that one of the big things about playing for Gloucester for the first time, most of my playing in club was Blackheath and southeast England, and nearly all the players were of the sort of public school type.
Yeah.
And Eltham wasn't really a public school in those days, but coming to Gloucester, you know, we were all sorts.
Yeah.
From every kind of job, and it was a, you know, really big new experience for me, really, and I was very touched by it. How, you know, friendly everybody was, and we did get on, I think, very well together, whatever our job was, you know, including Bumps Carpenter, who was reputed to earn his living by poaching in the Forest of Dean.
He seems to have been a very hard man.
Yes, he was. He was playing for England when he was 40, I believe.
Yeah.
Quite extraordinary.
Well, I think they just brought him in to play against South Africa because they needed somebody who was made of granite.
Really? Yes. He certainly was tough.
Yeah.
Yes, he certainly was.
I was going to ask you about the difference between playing for Blackheath and Kent and then playing for Gloucester and Gloucestershire. There must have been quite a big sort of cultural change, really.
Well, it was in a way. I don't know. Perhaps we were all more kind of class conscious in those days. I don't know. But I do remember that was, you know, one big impression on that I made on me, and it was so I was so impressed by you know, everybody being very friendly. And
you played quite a lot for Kent. You played a fair number of games for Kent, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I've forgotten how many, but quite a lot, yes. And I played for Kent schools. I think that was quite highly organised in those days.
I believe you captained Kent schools on at least one occasion.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, I'd forgotten that. I'd forgotten that if I did, yes.
Yes.
And of course, come the 1936-7 season, when you were playing for Gloucestershire, you beat Kent in the semi-finals of the county championship on your way to winning it.
And as Bill says, we were really beaten because Donny Meadows, I think, tried to drop goal, which was given, and was really about a yard out or something. So Bill told me.
but you chose not to put the referee right.
The shed put him right. It was right behind the shed as it happened, and the poor referee was totally unsighted. The pack got up, and it was Ronnie Morris, actually, not Donny Meadows, who dropped the goal. And I was in the shed as a youngster watching in those days, and it was about a yard out, but the shed, goal, typical of shed, and the poor referee was unsighted. The linesman didn't correct him, and they went back, and they won by 4-0 in the semi-final.
No,
which Bill was playing.
It was by 7-5.
7-5, was it?
Yeah,
yes.
But it was the crucial
the
score.
The drop goal did the trick anyway. Yeah. The drop goal was the deciding factor.
Yeah, that's right.
And they had a very, very strong side then, Kent. Vivian Jenkins was at fullback for Kent. A very famous fullback, yes, Vivian. Kent had a very strong side. It was a dreadful day. It was snowing. And
so you played with Vivian Jenkins as well as against him, did you, Bill?
I never played in an Oxford side with Vivian, I don't think. No. Owen Smith had taken over from Vivian. But I've often thought that I might have owed my place in the Oxford team to Vivian, because he mistakenly thought, as my name is Phillips, I must be Welsh, and he had this bright idea of getting me in as a wing forward. I don't know. I did get to know Vivian quite a bit in those days, but that's all so long ago now. But yes, he was a brilliant fullback, wasn't he?
And Gloucester were well blessed with fullbacks at that time, weren't they? Because they had both Graham Parker and Harold Boughton.
Yes, that's right.
Can you tell us about those two?
Well, not much, really. Not much. Although I played with all these chaps, some of them stars, I never really got to know them very well, because it was a case of turning up to play and then disappearing. And that was a great drawback from being at Dean Clare School. I got a chip on my shoulder about Dean Clare School, but that's another story, perhaps.